Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
My next guest this morning is the journalist, broadcaster and podcaster Daisy Buchanan. Many of you will know her from her best-selling guide to surviving your 20s, How to Be a Grown-Up. Daisy's also, of course, host of the Your Booked podcast and a very well-known advice columnist for the millennial generation. She's also just written her debut novel, Insatiable, to wonderful reviews, including from our own Marion Keyes, who said in her blurb, it's extremely funny, touching and wonderfully refreshing on women and sexual desire. And I'm now joined by Daisy. Morning, Daisy.
Hello, Miriam. Thank you so much for having me. I'd like to join with everyone in that loveful Thomas Walsh. What a treat. It was so, so gorgeous. And obviously, it's quite nervous doing live radio and talking about your book. And I felt so soothed. It was luscious. It was the most perfect Sunday morning listen.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, he's got a gorgeous voice. Listen, let's start on the book, Insatiable. There's a 20-something at its heart, Daisy, a woman called Violet, who works in the London art scene. Tell us about her.
Violet, when we meet her, is at her lowest ebb. She's absolutely at rock bottom. She has run out on an engagement. She's realizing that her perfect life and the life she thinks everyone wants for her just isn't going to work for her. She doesn't love her ex-fiance, and she was doing the safe and sensible thing, and she just realized she can't go through with it. That has meant that she has fallen out with her best friend, and that's really why her heart is broken. She's isolated herself from her friends and family, and she's just starting to realize that her dream job and her big passion for art, she's being sort of exploited in the workplace, and she's barely being paid, and she doesn't really make enough money to live, and she's just craving adventure and excitement and doesn't know what she wants or what she's allowed to want. And then she meets the very glamorous Lottie, who's also in the art world, and she thinks, or Violet thinks, she's offering her the professional opportunity of a lifetime and other more saucy and explicit opportunities as well. And Violet just feels like she's got nothing to lose and she wants to go on an adventure. So off she goes.
And interestingly, the book subtitle is A Love Story for Greedy Girls. And without spoiling the story for my listeners, I think we can say that Violet, she gets drawn into this world of sex parties with this older group of high flyers. I mean, is she a woman in control, Daisy, enjoying these consensual encounters, or is she being manipulated? I was wondering that.
I think Violet always really enjoys the sex, and I very deliberately wanted to write a book about desire. I think that even now, you know, sex is everywhere, but I think that women are always told they have to be desired and desirable. And I really wanted to give a voice to all of that yearning and wanting and lust, and to have someone who's not necessarily confident or who doesn't, you know, go out believing she's sort of a sexy woman, but is just so overwhelmed by these feelings. I think the exploitation that happens in the book is emotional, and that Violet, you know, she's bold and she's brave, but she's also terrified. And I think she tells herself she's in control when she's not always, and she doesn't really know how much power she has, and she doesn't realize when people are getting her to give it all away.
And interesting, you know, 5 years on from that great Guardian column on millennials and sex, you know, are we any nearer the revolution you had hoped for? And it's interesting, was it nice for you to write about, I suppose, the fulfillment of desires among 20-somethings as opposed to exploring the reasons for abstinence?
Oh, it absolutely, absolutely was. And something that I think about a lot and have been thinking about over the last few days is it's really interesting that I think in our culture and, you know, in books, on TV, in films, all across art, we constantly see women being victims of sexual violence and exploitation and terrible, terrible things. We so rarely see women experiencing sexual pleasure in culture, and it's such a shock when they do, and that baffles me. You know, I think that there are all kinds of reasons for that, but I just, you know, wanted to bring a bit of pleasure back into the narrative. And also, you know, I felt I wish I had, you know, had some of the adventures and experiences that Violet has had. You know, sexually, this book is all sort of fantasy and invention. Emotionally, I brought a lot of truth here. And, you know, I think that maybe now when, you know, we can't see each other and be with each other in any way, that I really hope this is bringing some sort of, you know, fantasy and adventure and dreaming into people's lives.
It made me smile, actually. You did an interview with Tanya Sweeney in the Irish Times I read last Saturday, and talking about Jilly Cooper, because there are elements of the Jilly Cooper. Were you surprised by that?
I am honoured to hear that. I adore Jilly Cooper. I am a super fan. I hope I'm allowed to say this. She sent me a card to congratulate me on my publication day, which is the loveliest, loveliest chock. I was so delighted to hear. But yeah, I've read those books, you know, all my life. And Jilly was one of the first writers. Again, I know at the beginning you mentioned, you know, Marion Keyes, who I've just, you know, loved for so long. Like, who've just made me feel not only, you know, transported me into this fun, thrilling, vivid, gorgeous world, but also made me feel like my feelings are valid, the stories I want to tell are valid, things that happen to women are valid. You know, I think that's so powerful. And I think these are the books where we don't talk about what happens in the books. We all talk about how they make us feel. And these are the books that, you know, we return to over and over again. And, you know, all I hope to do as a writer is, if one person ever read my book and then wanted to reread it, that would make all of the sitting in front of the computer
worthwhile
and panicking worthwhile.
And it's interesting because you've written so much, and you're also, you know, you give advice, you're an agony aunt in a sense, that you mentioned how lovely Jilly Cooper and Marion Keyes was there. And yet in the book, it's clear that Violet, like, she constantly compares herself unfavorably to other women around her. And we always hear that that's something we women do far more than men, often with negative results. A, why do we do that to ourselves, Daisy? And secondly, it's often wrong as well, because as you said, women by and large are also incredibly supportive of each other.
They truly are. Firstly, I think that because there are so few opportunities for women to succeed, there is that sense that, you know, there's only one person ever gets to have a go, or certainly at a time. So there's a bit of us, I think, that, and I absolutely do it there, you know, people, I've got some incredibly successful friends, people I really, really love. And, you know, they have these triumphs and I have this odd mix. And it's not envy or jealousy, because I want them to have it. But I think, oh, if it's them, it can't be me, because we just don't, you know, sit. And I think that's changing. I hope that's changing. And that, you know, again, like the people who impress me and dazzle me the most culturally by and large are women. You know, but as you say, it's so, you know, the generosity and support and kindness I've had for everyone, especially with this book, I've just been stunned by it. And so many brilliant women, you know, Irish readers as well. I was just thinking about also the Irish writers that I wanted to mention. I was just talking on Twitter to Sarah Breen, who wrote the one of the writers of the Aspen books, Claire and Emma. I love those books so much. And it's just been so, you know, their sort of generosity and support on social media, when all I've done is I've just gone and been a fan, and I fell in love with Aisling the moment I sort of laid eyes on her. And I just, you know, like a mad woman in the street sort of standing on a book saying, everybody must read these books, they're so fantastically funny. But it's fun to be a fan, it's fun to be a cheerleader. I think it's the best thing that you can be. And, you know, I think that we can all afford to do it, especially with books. You know, I know they're sort of, you know, well, if you only read one book this year, I think that no, if you read one book this year, you're going to want to read another book and another book and another book, because it just takes one to think, oh, reading is magical.
Well, look, Daisy, your book Insatiable, published by Sphere, it's a really great read. As I said, there's been all the reviews have been hugely positive. Thanks so much for taking your time to join me this morning, and have a great day.